All right, it is time for the gospel reading. I'll be reading Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Peace be with you, everyone. Good to have you. Last Monday, COVID-19 death in the United States alone surpassed 500,000. No other country has counted so many deaths in the pandemic. More Americans have died from COVID-19 than on the battlefields of World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined. 500,000 people, 500,000 people plus. It's like everyone living in both Riverside City and Corona City combined vanished for good. Last week, nearly 15 million people in Texas had no water due to the freezing weather condition. I heard that the extreme cold killed more than 70 Texans in their bedrooms, vehicles, and backyards. We human beings seem to be so powerless and helpless in front of the natural and man-made calamities, even in 2021. Probably some of us might say, "Oh, too bad," or "Sorry for the unfortunate death," and consider this massive death as statistics numbers without any thinking or feeling of empathy. However, if one of the death is happened to be one of your family or loved ones, your whole life, your whole world would be shaken and turned upside down. Our church member, Margaret Berger, just lost 3 family members recently, 2 of them in the same week. It's such a heartbreaking tragedy. Even one single life is precious in God's sight. No matter who you are or where you are from, your life matters. Tonight, February 28, there will be an annual Golden Globe Award ceremony in Beverly Hills. And because of the pandemic, I heard that there will be no live audience except for a limited number of frontline and essential workers who are invited. Anyhow, one of the movie nominations is the movie called Minari. is a Korean plant name. It's been made by the Korean-American director Lee Isaac Chung. It's a movie about a Korean-American immigrant family that moved from California to Arkansas to live as farmers in early 1980s. This autobiographical drama is based on a true story of the director himself as a second-generation child of the immigrant parents. This movie is definitely an American movie directed by an American about the Americans who are trying to settle down in America. However, what makes many of the Hollywood people and movie critics upset is that, unlike the Oscar, this movie has been nominated only for the Best Foreign Films category for the Golden Globe, not as one of the main nominations for the Best Picture category. I came to the United States in 1983 as an immigrant. My wife and I got married in 1985, and we have two daughters who are born in the USA. We are so grateful to be living in the USA. Many Korean Americans came here in 1970s with American dreams. The very first large group of Korean immigrants arrived in Hawaii, United States, on January 13th, 1903. That's why January 13 is designated as a National Korean American Day. Our congregation is so blessed to have wonderful members with various backgrounds and national origins. As a matter of fact, all of your ancestors came from other countries as immigrants, from European countries and other countries all over the world. Yes, in this sense, we are here today throughout the history of immigrations, unless you are Native Americans, right? See, no matter where you came from or your ancestors came from, we all are Americans who are making the American history. America is your home and your children's home and your children's children's home and beyond. I'm sure you've been hearing some disturbing news about hate crimes being committed against the Asian Americans, especially elderly people in San Francisco, New York, and many other places. We are always saddened to hear people harming other people because of hatred, racism, bias, prejudice, and maybe even conspiracies that are motivated by bigotries and many other reasons. America has come a long way, and yet, still more to go. We celebrate this month of February as Black History Month. Thanks to Valerie for your wonderful children's message this morning. The history of the African American is an integral part of the U.S. history. In 1619, their lives began in America as slaves, even before the United States independence. Unlike other immigrants, the African American ancestors had no choice. Even though their captivity lives were very much forgotten, neglected, and ignored, we must realize that Black Americans are a very important part of the American history. Finally, after 246 years, with the cost of the American Civil War, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, abolition of slavery was passed and ratified in 1865. Yet, even after 156 years of the abolition of slavery, Today, 2021, we are still witnessing so many racial injustice and disparities almost every day. We hear some people say, oh, I'm not a racist. I have many Black, Asian, Hispanic, or many other ethnic background American friends. That is good. But that's not enough. You've got to be an anti-racist, standing up for everyone's rights and equality, speaking it out against injustice. You've got to say or and do something against racism. God created everyone equal and precious, regardless of color, culture, background, language, and many other differences. And we are beautiful and magnificent people of God together. We are simply proud Americans who love our country and its people. And as Christians, the followers of Christ, we are called to love one another and our neighbors, meaning everyone. When Jesus invited people to follow him as faithful disciples, he only asked for three simple yet important things. Verse 34, he called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Even though these conditions or requirements appear to be three separate things, I believe these three things are interconnected and ultimately one thing is how to become a faithful disciple of Jesus. The first phrase, deny yourself, is pretty much straightforward for us to understand. Put God first in your life. Let Christ control your life. Empty your heart so that you can fill it in with God's love. Apostle Paul proclaims in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-8, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What a beautiful poem it is. This passage was called the Christ hymn by the early Christians. Yes, Jesus emptied himself and humbled himself so that he could show us the way to the cross. Denying yourself means emptying out the garbage from your heart so that you can fill your heart with heavenly, joyful, and lovely things. Denying yourself means being transformed from a self-centered and selfish person to a selfless, loving neighbor. Remember that John the Baptist confessed in John chapter 3, verse 30? He, Jesus, must increase, but I, John, must decrease. So when you put God first and other people first before yourself, you would become more like Christ. Your perspective on the world and on the people will be changed. Regardless who they are, how they look, what kind of background, what differences they have, with the eyes of Jesus, you would love them, accept them, and embrace them. I mean, everyone. On the other hand, the phrase "take up your cross" needs a little bit more interpretation. This phrase never means any kind of self-harm, self-destruction, or suicide even. No, never. The word "cross" means your complete allegiance to Jesus Christ. The word "cross," of course, refers to death, just as the suffering and death of Christ. In English, there is an interesting expression, a cross to bear. Have you ever used that expression before, right? Yeah, I have a cross to bear, you know. In most cases, my cross to bear. Generally, a cross to bear is defined by dictionaries as a difficult responsibility or burden that someone must handle on their own. Of course, the reference here is to Jesus being made to carry the cross on which he was to die to the place of execution. However, in this gospel text, relating to the call of Jesus, the cross signifies the burden that we must share among the people, especially among the Christians. Not your own burden, but others' burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." One of the best books on discipleship is The Cost of Discipleship, written by the German theologian and Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote, quote, "As Christ bears our burdens, so ought we to bear the burdens of our fellow men. The law of Christ, which it is our duty to fulfill, is the bearing of the cross," unquote. Jesus' words, "take up your cross," is also recorded in the Gospel of Luke, probably at the same or a similar occasion, Luke 9:23. Let's read all together. "If anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." His words are pretty much identical, right? Except for one word, "take up their cross daily." Yes, interestingly, the word "daily" is added. Considering the Gospel of Mark was written first than any other Gospels, Luke might have wanted to clarify the meaning and added the word "daily." Just as Jesus taught us to pray, we pray, "give us our weekly bread or monthly bread." No, daily bread. Taking your cross should be a daily activity. That means the cross-bearing ministry is essential and crucial for the faithful disciples of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Apostle Paul proclaims a shocking message. He said, "I die every day." What does he mean by that? Dying every day? The verse continues, "That is as certain, brothers and sisters, as my boasting of you, a boast that I make in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is another way of saying that Paul is a committed disciple of Christ who would take up his cross daily. Following Christ means to follow the way of the cross. Following the way of the cross means that you take up your cross daily, putting God and other people's first. Putting God first means that you would do your best to imitate Christ in terms of compassion, empathy, resilience, acceptance, forgiveness, edification, peace, justice, and love. Putting others first means that you would practice all of the above. Practice is a key word, practice. Daily, all of the above in your daily, everyday life. No one can possibly rely on only weekly, monthly, or yearly food for nutrition. It's got to be daily bread to sustain and to grow. Taking up your cross should be practiced every day. My sisters and brothers in Christ, in one sense, it is sad to celebrate Black History Month only once a month, only 1 month a year. What about the other 11 months? If we all treat everyone equally, regardless of their differences in appearance, and love one another and celebrate and cherish our diversity in harmonious ways, we would not need to single out Black history. It's the same as the Black Lives Matter. Of course, Black all lives matter, but we must realize that considering Black lives were considered second class, some kind of a second class, or excluded in the mainline American history, Black lives matters too. Yes, all our diverse histories are the American history. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered the I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington, August 28, 1963. He gave a powerful speech. Let me share with you just a couple of paragraphs of the I Have a Dream speech. He said, "I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Quote, unquote. King's speech was delivered to the American people and the whole world in 1963, over six decades ago. His speech resonated with the message of justice and peace from the prophet Isaiah and all the teachings of Jesus, especially love one another. The African American sisters and brothers have been bearing their own crosses throughout history, and we, all Christians, must share the burden as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and as fellow disciples of Christ by dismantling racism in our nation. When we do that, at least we would be true, faithful disciples of Christ. My friends in Christ, are you going to say, "Oh, everybody knows that, but you listened anyhow because it's Black History Month"? Or are you truly, seriously willing to take words of Jesus and commit yourselves to take up your crosses daily? The choice is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.